Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Okay, today is October 18th, 2024. The time is 11:04 a.m. Pacific time. The market is open right now, and the podcast usually comes out on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, sometime earlier than a Friday. But today is Friday, and the reason why it's coming out late this week is because I've been working on a YouTube video. So this is like the soft launch of it. It's not available publicly yet. It's under TastyTrade compliance team's review because being a marketing partner with them, it has to just be approved by the team. So yeah, that's gonna be coming out shortly. I don't advertise my own stuff often in terms of like, you know, merch, but I'll just plug it one more time because there's a huge chance it's gonna be totally sold out by the time you listen to maybe the next few episodes. And that's because in the video that I'm releasing at the end, I have a promotion where if you sign up using the TastyTrade link, you'll get the shirt for free. And that's for new customers that qualify, that fund their account and all that good stuff. But yeah, you'll get the shirt shipped free to you by me with the leftover merch that I have of the shirts. There's not many left. So if you wanted to cop a shirt before the video releases, you would go to shop.thetagang.com. I even took a nice picture of myself wearing it this time around because I had just realized I didn't take a model picture for it forever. It was just like it was just on the sort of with a backdrop on it. But yeah, you can see me modeling the shirt. I think I look kind of nice. If that helps boost sales, I'll know to for sure do it for next time. But yeah, if you want to cop a shirt before the last of them are given out in that promotion, go to shop.thetagang.com and I'll ship it right away. It comes with a sticker or two stickers actually, and it'll be supporting me. So thank you. And again, soft launching my video. It's a video on my favorite 5 trading rules, essentially, of like how I filter through the tens of thousands of trades and I boil it down to just the hand select few that I actually do trade, and then taking that trade and then going all the way through picking expirations and my philosophy on why I trade going up versus trading going down. It's a pretty good video. It's very short. It's short and punchy, just like my first one, but not as punchy because I've been rewatching my old video a few times just to get a really good gauge on how I want to improve. This one's a little bit longer. I talk a little bit slower, and I feel like it's just a little bit better paced. So I'm excited for you guys to eventually see it. And it should be coming out. It just depends on what the feedback I get from the TastyTrade team. But I plan on releasing it sometime next week. So by the time you're listening to this, again, pick up a shirt if you want one. Otherwise, there's a good chance we're going to be sold out very soon. Thank you, and we'll continue on. Okay, I want to go over two philosophies that have really kept me on track this year, and we'll see how long it goes. And it'll kind of make sense as you sort of listen. So my first one is, trend is your friend is so underrated. I feel like understanding that when the trend is up and you trade, like, it will continue going, it will work out for you more often than not, right? So for example, a lot of people, I think, naturally get sketched out when SPY hits all-time high. They think, oh, right now might be a good time to sell. But we know from earlier recordings of this year on the podcast, from reading Best Loser Wins by Tom Hoogard, recommended by Major, that we know that we should be adding on to our winners, okay? And that sounds very controversial because you're like, oh, well, SPY is all-time high. It has to cool off and I'll get in then, right? Or maybe you don't have any invested and you just wait for it to have a red day and you go in then. But that day might not come for a while, or maybe it just takes off the next day. It's very green and you just wait for it to always just come back down to the price where you're going to get in at, and you just get analysis paralysis, or maybe you just get a little too scared to ever go in. To combat this feeling of, oh man, this stock or this market is at all-time high, I don't want to possibly be the sucker that buys in at the top or that sells puts at the top. I refuse. Junie, why would you tell me to do such a decision where I can lose money? Like, what? Why would that make any sense, you know? And, you know, one way to look at it, if you want to keep it simple, is like, you got to risk it for the biscuit. But I'm going to give you a little bit more than that, okay? Like, when I'm joking around my friends about stocks, maybe we'll talk like that. But a good way to think about it is, you want to be wrong doing the right decision. And that's going to, that has a whole bunch of bias in there. Like, what is really right and what is really wrong? And it depends on how you look at the market. But I've been doing this for almost 6 entire years now of trading this exclusive style. And something that I've really noticed is, if you bet that the market is going to go up, you're correct more often than you are not. And I think it doesn't even take 6 years of experience to do that. I think it just takes the 10 seconds it takes to look at the all-time SPY chart to understand that. Okay? So if you are constantly betting that the market will go up over the longest period of time, you'll be more often right than wrong. The trickiest part about all this is when you start introducing things with like a timer. Like, if you buy a long call, you have an expiration date. And that's always going to have some you know, intricacies to it. You got to apply your own system and timing and your own philosophies in that matter. But what I'm trying to say is, when the market is at all-time high, your account should be at all-time high, and you should be trading like we are at all-time high, meaning that you think that we will hit another all-time high tomorrow. And that, you know, it, dude, I swear I'm not a perma bull. Like, you should hear and listen to the podcasts when the market and world was ending during COVID. I have all those podcasts still up. You can just go back in time and scroll all the way down on Spotify and find those episodes. I'm not a perma bull. I'm just optimistically cautious, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because it doesn't take much for the market to hit another all-time high. Let me phrase it this way. When SPY hits an all-time high of, let me just look it up here so we have real numbers. SPY stock, did it just hit all-time high today? No. So 585.95 is all-time high. Right now we're making another run for it as we speak. And all it takes is one more penny. All that we need is 585.96. Okay, one more penny. And that's, quote, all-time high. The word all-time high, or the phrase all-time high, is really scary. And I get it, man. Like, again, no one wants to be the sucker, or no one wants to be the loser. But that's the entire point of that book, is like, you want to be the best loser. And so something that I've been doing is, I'm coming up with this concept of like canary trades, which, you know, I'm just going on this tangent. I didn't even think of bringing up in this topic, but I've been trading in a sense where, like, if I'm having a lot of cash secured puts, right, and I'm adding on to winners, like I'm adding more cash secured puts, or maybe, you know, I have a long call position, I want to buy more long calls, I'm calling those newer trades canary trades, where I'm still adding on to winners, but maybe it's of smaller quantity, or you know, it's of, you know, it's just closer to the money. I don't necessarily need to go and match the size of my previous trade. It's a canary trade. I made a joke on the Twitch stream where I'm joking that I'm throwing it down the coal mine, but realistically, it's the canary that goes into the coal mine. If there's no oxygen there, the canary dies. But if I apply that to trading, if say I'm winning on a whole bunch of CSPs, I have five of them open and they're all green, I want to add to that position. I want to add winners to it. So maybe instead of adding five more, I add a canary trade. I just add one more CSP. This CSP is meant to lose, but I want to be correct doing the right decision. And that's how I'm sort of applying this entire philosophy on the rest of my portfolio. The newer stuff, I'm counting on that to lose so that I can better manage my other position. I think a lot of people get caught up in min-maxing where they don't want to ever lose, right? And they'll count on their technical indicators and their charts to help dictate whether or not they lose or win on their bulk position. But I'm really trying to instill a habit of adding on to winners, counting them as, quote, you can't see my fingers, but I'm doing that finger thing, canary trades, and they're supposed to theoretically lose. If they continue winning, that's amazing, right? Like, that's happened a few times. It's happening right now in terms of like Nvidia for me and Robinhood. But realistically, I'm adding on to my winners with smaller positions that I'm labeling as canary trades. And I am counting on those to lose. And when they start losing, then, hey, maybe it's time to take winners off the table of my main position. But you see, I'm not, say, going all cash. I'm not calling the top, right? I'm not saying, oh, I'll get in when it gets back down. I'm not waiting because I'm not afraid to lose. Right? Losing has all these negative connotations to it and all these negative feelings attached to it. It's no wonder you don't want to feel those feelings. We're built to not feel those feelings for a long period of time. If you feel bad, or if you feel like you're not in a good place, you're going to do something to not get yourself out of there. And if you don't do anything about it, you're either tilted or you're depressed. Okay. But that's like a whole nother topic for later. But to summarize, it's okay to be wrong doing the correct thing. There's nothing wrong with losing. Adding on these smaller trades on top of winners is my favorite way of building the habit of adding on to winners instead of like hoping and just praying that your main position wins. You know, I'll probably have a much longer way to reflect on this on the end of the year podcast episode, but I feel like right now, because the market's so hot, we're hitting all-time highs, I thought I'd mention it right now. Okay, heading into our last topic. Sorry for the people that enjoyed the longer episodes, keeping this one short, gotta go soon. Is the concept of calling the top and why it's so dangerous and so bad. Over the course of a period of time, we have had some major downward movements, and that includes like the 08 recession, as well as the COVID crash, and a lot of volatility. Even in this year, we experienced a lot in April. We experienced a lot in August. Those were some pretty bad months for a lot of people. I think, you know, a lot of people got annihilated during those price movements, but I see a lot of those people actually coming back. So as we're approaching all-time highs now, you know, if you didn't learn your lesson the first time, there's a good chance you might not have learned it yet right now. And as you see these all-time highs, you get this instinct to just call the top. And that could mean like, oh, this is the top, I'm going to go all cash. Or this is the top, I'm going to go buy puts. Or, hey, I think it has gone up too much and it's going to go down. And this has always been something that I have harped on Twitter. It's like one of my most famous tweets ever, back in the heyday when I used to do angsty Twitter tweets to upset people. And it's primarily because it's just not enough due diligence to be able to have that sort of play work. It comes from a place where you just see something that is very elementary. You think, okay, this stock has gone up too much, it's going to go down, therefore I have to act on it. So there's like this lack of like impulse control, And there's this tidbit of ego, right? You see everyone winning. You finally want to win on this because maybe you sat on the sidelines too long and you want to execute. You buy those long puts on SPY because, again, oh, SPY is all-time high. I see all my friends talking about it. I want to just call out of why they're all wrong because I stayed out this entire year or something like that, you know? This can also attribute to like specific companies. You know, I think a lot of people like to try to time Nvidia going down, but that is one of the hardest things to ever do. Michael Burry, infamous for this timing of the housing market crash and becoming like a billionaire slash, I don't know, trillionaire. I have no idea how much money he made, but he made a lot of money, and I could see that posing as a very cool way to justify that you could be the next Michael Burry. You could call this top, you can make a lot of money. And you see a lot of survivorship bias from people also buying puts on very famous companies. But what you don't realize is Michael Burry has been calling the top forever now. You know, like he thinks that there's going to be a market crash all the time. And all these other times that he's called it, he's been wrong. The market is fine, and it's hitting all-time highs right now. You're gonna see so many different news pieces, so many different charts, so many different technicals. Your friends might be talking about it. It depends on your trading group. Your trading group might be talking about it. There are so many different ways to look at the market, and if you don't fundamentally believe in a direction, I can understand why you feel like you're getting tossed around. Because they're like, how are you supposed to believe that this all-time high is safe, right? And that you should not just be buying puts. The way that I look at it is, if you have that inclination that you really do think you could time the top, you don't have to go necessarily like all in. And I think like a lot of people would agree with that. That's not a contrarian opinion at all. I think most people, if not all people, believe that going all in is bad. But we all know that that isn't typically reality. People often realize that they're all in when it's too late. It could start off as calling the top and saying, oh, I'm going to buy one put here, or I'm going to buy five puts here. I'm going to spend only 1% of my portfolio, 10%, 20% of my portfolio. I know some of you are like, whoa, I don't even can't even imagine going up to 20%. But it happens, especially with accounts that are smaller and the puts, according to their portfolio size, is, well, that size. But it starts off small. It always does. Or, you know, a smaller number. I really doubt that there are actually the people that just full port in one trade. I think a lot of the Wall Street Bets screenshots that you see are people starting off with one big trade, and then they start losing and they double down and they're all in and then they post, right? And I think that's usually how it goes. So just understand that it can happen to you. You can let your ego get in front of you and then stop you from making the, you know, what I would consider the correct play, but being wrong with the correct play. You can continue playing with the rest of us, meaning like you're playing with your parents, your friends, teachers, engineers, just really anyone that has an account in the stock market. Everyone wants the stock market to go up, besides these like little handfuls of people that want to time it going down. But as soon as you join the team where everyone's incentivized to vote for the rules that makes the stock market go up, because, you know, everyone wants to retire with the money, it's hard to be altruistic when it comes to this sort of stuff. You know, as much as I want to be like, oh man, I'd love to give away my money and to charities and stuff. Dude, I need to make my money to buy a house. I need to make my money in the stock market to support a family. I need this to go up. And that goes for a lot of different people, especially when it comes to retirement. When you play with the rest of the team, meaning the rest of the country, your trades just are infinitely better. And that goes with really any stock that a lot of people believe in. There are occasions where, you know, you could time sort of companies that might be overvalued to you. You can come up with due diligence on why these technical indicators are just, I don't know, just too high or too low. You could justify just about anything. But have a little bit more due diligence than, I think this has gone up too much. I think this has been overextended. I think it has just reached all-time high. I'm going to stop. these are all feelings of just trying to mitigate future loss, right? Like, you're so scared of your next step being wrong, you get paralyzed. Just think about that, right? Like, I don't think in any other form of like video games you've ever played is like, hey, I'm gonna stop playing this video game as soon as I become powerful. That doesn't happen. So you got to come up with your own system on how you have your own canary trades. Like, what, how are you adding on to winners? Or if your stock gets called away, how are you going to re-enter? What is your battle plan? Just a few thoughts for your Friday afternoon. Right now, my main account is at all-time high, and my 5K account was at all-time high earlier this week on Monday, but has fallen off just a tidbit since. I reached 9K on October 15th, which was Tuesday, actually, but sold off a good bit of stock and stuff, reallocated a whole bunch of stuff. I'm sitting at 8.7 on my 5K account, which the anniversary for 1 year is coming up very soon. It's in about 2.5 weeks or 2 weeks now. My main account, my profit loss year to date is now at 71.7K. Despite the recent market turbulence of Nvidia going up and down and all this other stock action, very happy with my stock performance for this year, or my portfolio performance for this year. You see a lot of that volatility actually in the YouTube video that I'm releasing, because I'm taking screenshots of my portfolio like at different times of the week. And there's like this day where I'm down like 4K. And it makes a perfect illustration point, because I talk about my delta that I like, and it shows that even having high delta is bad. This is a really good video. I can't wait for you guys to watch it. Again, if you want a ThetaGang shirt, this is your last chance to get one before I think it's just going to get all given out for free if you sign up with the ThetaGang referral sign-up link for Tasty Trade. Oh, also, we had the Robinhood announcement with the Legend Awakens product. Traded Robinhood a lot as of the last 2 or 3 weeks, but I'll talk about that probably next week, or maybe I'll bring it up as soon as it hits public, because I wasn't invited to the beta, so my feelings are hurt, Vlad, but it's okay. I forgive you. That's it. I'm gonna take off again. Just remember those things, man. Like, if we hit all-time high, just remember trend is your friend. Just come up with some ways to get those canary trades out, and stop calling tops. If you constantly find yourself you're a top trader, you're gonna get your feelings hurt a lot. Because again, just zoom out on SPY, and that'll be your evidence. But this time it's different. It could be, but just be wrong that it's different this time. You know, it's okay. It's okay to lose. I think a lot of people are forgetting. It's okay to lose. And I'm doing so much better job of that this year. I think it's because I have all this mental bandwidth to be able to think through these feelings and feel these feelings, you know, all that soft Gen Z stuff. Because I'm just doing this full time, I have a lot more time to think about it than I think you guys do, because you guys are working 9 to 5, working hard. And I'm just trying to give you tidbits of information to preserve that money that you're working hard for, right? You work really hard at your 9 to 5, right? There are some days where you're just like, I want to quit this thing. There is no reason why you should be giving up that money that you earned that day for free. Let's get it. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with Tasty Trade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on Tasty Trade, you can see the show description from my referral link, or use ThetaGang referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGang. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks though, so check it out again at patreon.com/thetagang if you're interested in helping support. This week's patron list will be read in alphabetical order, and that's Alexander Kerm, Arfman, Averillian, Bachat the Thug, Banadushi, Bearded Savage, Big Dillo, Bin Z, Can't Make Money RL, Chicken Dinner, Clutch, Coop, Danghai, Danube 9000, Desserts, EDC, Espresso Bean, Fancy Wolf, Ground Pound 95, Gruffalo, Handy, Husk Peak, Jimmy Gill, Jindra, Minaru, Joe Quirt, Jay Perkins 86, Kaput, Loido, Lord Skeletor, Los Pepes, LPL, Luca Bedouer, Maestro XC, Major, Maltman 1856, McFly, Mehmeh, Mods, Mr. Integrity, MX7, Nala, and NSYS 88, Roostered, RS Schmitty, Rustier, Slow Motion, Statistically Random, Steve Cassidy, Suede Slides, Sumatrix, Tickle Me Elmo, The Jester, Theta Collector, Travella, Turbo Ricky, T-Wall 3252, Tyler LM97, Upstream Puddle, Vegeta Plank, Y-Teen, Young Rich, and ZKMSZ. Ooh, yeah. Thank you, everyone, for supporting me on Patreon. Means a lot to be able to do this full time. I'm like realizing it more and more of just how I was able to sustain myself for a full year being able to do this. It's kind of a wild feeling. It's also still kind of scary because there's always that feeling in the back of my head like, oh man, I could have just worked a job for a full year and I could have been maybe even like a quarter richer. But like at that point, like, oh, I was reaching a point where I was just thinking like, oh man, am I trading my time for my money? And I am, but it feels less bad when you work somewhere where you really like, right? That's I think something that everyone knows. And right now I feel like I'm getting paid honestly pretty fairly, I guess, for the amount of work that I have to do versus the work that I like to do. The ratio is insane. I like to do like 99% of my job. There's like a good 1% that I'm not a huge fan of, but I gotta do. But it's worth it. That said, you know, I think I'm gonna be giving myself, I think realistically, one more year. I mean, the way that everything is panning out, I think one more year makes a lot of sense. And that's also pending a few things, right? Like, this Tastyworks marketing partnership is helping a bunch. That's what definitely gave me a lot of confidence to keep going. So again, if you can use the Tastytrade referral code, if you haven't used it already, that would mean a lot to me. That would keep the stream going for sure. I don't see a world where thetagang.com shuts down because this full-time venture didn't work. It would just continue being the thing that I work on after work and all that fun stuff. But at the end of the day, I do see a world, if I don't get this to grow substantially, and growth is measured in different ways that I'll just keep to myself right now, but if I don't grow this substantially within this next year, because I feel like this first year was like my warm-up year. Like I was spending a lot of time doing like the logistics of like health insurance. I mean, what else is there? Like just changing like all my tax stuff. Like I'll just find myself doing a lot of accounting, just seeing like, oh, what's the longevity of this? But piling on to the momentum that I had a few months ago of when I locked in the Tastytrade marketing partnership, I'd like to get more. That would be amazing. And then, you know, switch things up a little. I think going more content focused, in the next year would be probably the most beneficial for me. But I also want to announce that I'm going to be doing, maybe making what I believe to be a new product. So this is a pretty big announcement. I can't understand actually why I didn't say in the beginning of the episode, but you know, maybe a lot of people just listen to the beginning or the middle. I'm going to be making a new web client There, it was honestly going to be what I call V5. I'm noticing there are so many other things I want to do for this new version. And a lot of this was just hinging on what Robinhood was going to do. I was, you know, thinking like, oh, if Robinhood implements this, then there's really no reason for me to go in and do it. But I want to create a much more sleeker version of FadeGain.com. So I dabbled about it and I thought, you know, maybe the best way would just be converting everyone that's on FadeGain.com to this new product. But I want to just make this product standalone. I want to make it so light and just very purposeful and show the value that way. I'll probably give it for free for patrons. It's gonna be a member. It's gonna be membership based, just like ThetaGang.com is. But I think if you sign up for Patreon for ThetaGang.com, you'll just automatically have access to that as well. I see myself having like auto imports. I see myself having Sharpe ratio and profit factor being very emphasized. And I also see a trading app, or not an app where you make trades, but a trading log app. So a lot of people have been asking, hey, you know, when is the app for dating.com going to be out? I always say, you know, that would be like my first hire. But I do see validity in just creating one that's like really simple to use for the one purpose of just uploading trades. I think that's where a lot of people want it. And it'd be like a companion app. So that's in the works. I'm like choosing my code base that I want to commit to. And I think that would just be really fun working in new technology. A lot of this was inspired by my meeting with, I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast or not, but I literally shook hands and ate lunch with the founder of Streamlabs. He was starting like this stock company. And I just wanted to meet him because I was just like, wow, you exited a company for millions of dollars. I wanted to know what that was like. And I wanted to just meet him because I still use Streamlabs. And the fact that he replied to my email, because I just wanted to literally just ask him questions, I thought that was so cool. So I met with him and we were just talking. I was just like, you know what? I could really streamline a lot of the things that are on ThetaGang.com. And ThetaGang.com has had so many changes. I'm sure thousands of commits. Okay, I'm too lazy to go GitHub right now, but I'm sure at least thousands or tens of thousands of commits over the 5-year time span I've had these repos. It's been a long time, dude, and I want to just make the cleanest version ever. It's kind of like a challenge to myself if I can create a fully fledged self-running product, you know, and I want to put my fading flair in it. So I don't want to give away too much. I kind of want to just like not talk about it and just do it, because I'm just that type of person. I feel like the more I talk about something, the less like motivated I am, because I like doing stuff kind of in secret too, and being able to just surprise everybody when it comes out, because I like that initial feedback of like, oh man, there's sick changes. There's also the people that are like, oh, I hate dark mode, it's too dark. But you know, it's a love-hate relationship with the feedback. But majority of the time it's really good. So just know that like I'm working on a mobile app and a totally different new product, and the patrons that are with me right now and that sign up right now will have access to that for free. I mean, because you're supporting my Patreon, you'll have access to that product for free. And that's good. Let's see. I think that is all. I want to leave off today on a good note. I usually do, but just want to leave off on a good note. You know, it's getting to that time of year where we're having Halloween and then Thanksgiving and then Christmas. This is a pretty like lonely time of year for a lot of people. I'm sure that if you are already listening this far on the podcast, you already enjoy the bits of, you know, maybe like more wholesome content that I explore back here. This is just a reminder, just just be nice. Be kinder to people during this time of year. That can be said during really any time of year, I know. But it doesn't hurt to just remind people that, like, just being more sensitive to people during this time of year is pretty good. I still remember, and I'll share this story, and this will be the last thing. There was a time and period in my life where I did not go back home for Thanksgiving or Christmas. This was like 2020, or not 2020, like 2017, 2018, and some of 2019. I let work consume me. Like, I had just like recently joined Techspace, and I was just like in it. Like, I was learning so fast. It's also, you know, not to toot my own horn, it's also why I feel like I'm so good at it right now, and why I'm so self-sufficient. Like, I know all parts of the stack. I can do literally everything because I was grinding my heart out. Like, I was really into it. I still am. You see parallels to that, some of that, to now when I'm doing my own thing. But there was a time period in my life where I did not go back home, and I wasn't like so sad. I mean, of course, like, who really enjoys being with their parents like for 2 weeks straight, right? Like, who really, really enjoys that? Seeing them for a few days is great, but again, there was just a period of my life where I did not go back home. I would instead go to, like, for example, on Thanksgiving or Christmas, I would just go to like a coffee shop and drink a coffee, and then just spend my holiday there coding. And you know, quite often the place closes early because it's Thanksgiving Day. There was this one time where I worked at a coffee shop called Seven Leaves, and it was Christmas Day, and I got there in the morning at like, I don't know, like 10 a.m and I stayed there until they closed, which was like 8:30 p.m and I stayed there the entire day. I didn't eat anything. I just drank a coffee. And that's normal, right? That wasn't me being depressed and not eating. That's just like something I normally do. Like, I like going to coffee shops with an empty stomach and then drinking coffee. Makes you feel light, energetic, you know, all that stuff. When they were closing, you know, they're starting to like put up the chairs. I'm like, okay, this is my sign to get out. I like look to my right, like just like a little bit, like a little bit next to me, and there's a fully punched rewards card. You know, do you remember back in the day before everything got digitized, people would punch holes in cards every time you like bought a drink, and maybe you get 10 hole punches and you get a free drink. The owner of the store was there, and he had punched an entire card's worth of the rewards and had put the card next to me when I wasn't paying attention. And it said, Merry Christmas, you know? And I thought that was like I haven't spent it. I still have it. It's in my drawer. That's how much I like appreciated it. And, I don't know, man, like it's that type of I feel like I have been so lucky in my life where I have always I've always felt taken care of. I've always felt loved. And I maybe used to take it for granted, but I am so grateful for it now. Like, I am fully conscious of all the different stuff that has happened to me. And I hope I can inspire some of you to maybe see how lucky you have been. Like, because some people might just be like, oh yeah, I got a free gift card because I stayed there the entire day or something, you know? Like, I don't, maybe some people don't take it that serious, you know? Maybe it truly is not that serious, bro, you know? That type of mentality. But being able to reflect on this sort of stuff, and I don't know, I just feel very lucky. It feels very wholesome, and I hope you could find time in your day to think about this stuff. Maybe you're halfway through your commute and this episode is about to end. Maybe like don't play the next episode over you're about to listen to, or that next song. Just like try to think of like one crazy wholesome thing that has happened in your life, because I guarantee you one thing has. I'm so tired of like, you know, trying to get stuff from my parents, because like I would ask my parents like, what's one of your favorite like childhood memories? Just tell me one random one. And they're like, oh, I don't remember, or I don't have one. you know, my mom always says I don't have one, but you know, I'll like keep poking and prodding her on the phone and she'll eventually tell me one. And then she's in an audibly better mood after telling me it. She'll sometimes like laugh. And my stepdad's usually the one that's like, oh, I don't remember. It was such a long time ago. But I'm like, oh, no. So I'll ask him about that sort of stuff. Yeah. We're lucky. We're very lucky to be in the generation of like, well, it also depends on, you know, what age you are. According to Spotify, most of you are like 18 to like 32. We're in a very lucky generation where we're able to analyze our feelings. Like I've already alluded like a few episodes ago where like, you know, there are some people that never reflect. That's freaking crazy. There are people in the world, okay, that have never asked themselves like, was I wrong there? You know, some people just never have that thought. And that's not because they're a bad person. They just don't know that like neural pathway exists. And that's not me roasting them either. That's just me letting you guys know that if you are able to reflect and just like reminisce and be appreciative and be grateful, you have this skill that some people in the world don't have. And it's so strong. So, so strong. Pass that knowledge and pass that empathy to someone that you might meet just randomly. Just assume good intentions from everywhere, and I think the world would be like a slightly better place. That's it for me this week. Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I'm gonna get going, yeah, just thankful for all the support that I've been getting. And we're approaching 1 year of me taking this full time. I'm excited to sort of reflect on it in a later episode. I'll catch everyone later. Bye-bye.